Now to the Rohingya crisis along the Bangladesh border, where there are 750,000 refugees and growing. Well, earlier this week, the Bangladesh and Myanmar governments reached an agreement to start sending Rohingya refugees back to Myanmar in a plan that could begin as early as next week. Eric Schwartz is president of Refugees International, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Population, Refugees and Migration. He says moving refugees now is dangerously premature, even deadly.
These two governments have apparently reached this agreement in principle, but well-thinking people and well-thinking governments around the world really need to ensure that this does not go forward. There are so many prerequisites that have to be put in place before this kind of a return process begins. You need guarantees of voluntariness. You need monitoring upon return to ensure that people are not going to be subject to continued abuses. You need a specific guarantee that the rights of Rohingya will be respected, that their freedom of movement will be respected, that they will receive compensation for lost land, that they will be granted civil and political rights. None of those issues were discussed in the agreement that was reached on the 16th.
None of those issues at all, including international monitoring. Thousands of people ostensibly start going back to Myanmar, and the international community doesn't have eyes on it?
Of course. And there would have to be a presence on the ground in Rakhine State. And in addition, in terms of the development of this plan, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees should be deeply involved, and to all appearances, UNHCR was not involved. We're in a situation now where not even the UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in Myanmar, Yang Hee Lee, is permitted into the country. She's not. And so the idea that we should be moving forward, or these governments should be moving forward on a repatriation plan, is kind of ridiculous. It's actually horrific.
Let's try to get into the motivations of these two countries to cut a deal just between themselves on these hundreds of thousands of refugees. I suppose from Bangladesh's perspective, the immediate incentive is understandable. They have refugees in their country, and they'd like them out.
I think that's right. I think that as magnanimous as Sheikh Hasina has been in her statements about the Rohingya, that the government there would much prefer the vast majority of that population to be on the other side of the border. So those pressures are very much at play. But the government of Bangladesh should be constrained by the dictates of international refugee law, which says you do not return somebody to a place where they are at risk of suffering persecution. And if you don't think Rohingya are at risk of suffering persecution upon return to Myanmar, then you haven't been following events in that part of the world over the past many months.
Eric, I don't want to be hyperbolic about the analogy here. You'll correct me if I am. There is an infamous story from the eve of World War II, the St. Louis. A ship that sailed from Germany toward the United States was famously turned back with a boatload of 900 Jews to be left to their fate within Nazi Germany. Am I overshooting it in terms of making an analogy?
Of course you're not. Hundreds of those who were returned perished in the Holocaust. And that is, you know, for many of us who are in this field of work, the memory of the St. Louis is a kind of a motivating factor for everything that we do.
Is there time for the international community to use both its legal means and its political pressure on Bangladesh, and maybe to a lesser extent Myanmar in this case, to slow things down and get some more controls on this relocation plan?
Oh, of course there is. Of course there's time. There is a great opportunity for governments of the world to exert pressure on the government of Bangladesh not to move forward on this precipitously. The tougher issue is, you know, how do you ultimately solve this challenge? How do you address this challenge of hundreds of thousands of refugees in Bangladesh? There, the answers are much more elusive. How do you have accountability for the terrible abuses that took place in Rakhine State by the authorities in Myanmar, by the military? How do you get the kinds of safeguards you need to permit return? Those are the tough questions, but you don't answer those tough questions by ignoring them.
Eric Schwartz, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Eric Schwartz is president of Refugees International.